Next on the Wonder Years.
Work's work.
You work here Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Give me a break.
It sounds like fun. Working in a store, meeting people.
It's boring, it's hard work, and it's no fun.
Buck's a buck.
Do I really have to wear this tie?
Just prove to me that you're worth it. Sweep.
All I do here is move cartons from one shelf to the other and listen to you talk about hardware.
Old man's running your tail off, huh?
May I go home now?
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back.
This is Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years at Wonder Years podcast, and today I have for you the second episode of the Wonder Years Jobs Edition. This is Season 5, Episode 3, entitled The Hardware Store, which aired on October 16th, 1991. Fed up with the low pay at his first regular job, Kevin decides to try for a job at the mall where he can meet girls. He demands a pay raise, not expecting to get it. When he does, well, he quits anyway. Basically, yeah, Kevin just wants a job where he can hang out with friends, meet girls. And the place to see and be seen, of course, is gonna be at the mall, not at a, hardware store somewhere. So I'd like to start off this episode with a quote from the beginning from Adult Kevin. They say you never forget your first job. I know I remember mine. Harris's Hardware Store, down the hill from where I lived. The year I started 10th grade. It was the kind of place you don't see much of anymore. Filled to the rafters with brackets and bolts and old screens. You know, stuff on the cutting edge of obsolescence. It started as a summer job, but once school began, Mr. Harris cut back my hours so I could keep working. With the allowance Dad was paying me, I had no choice. Well, yeah. Although, I mean, they do live in California. I mean, if Kevin wanted to keep that caddy job, which, after that whole experience, I can see why he probably didn't go back. So we open up the episode on Harris's hardware store. So here's my question about this. Kevin started working this job during the summer. It's fall now in 10th grade and he's still working. Well, my question is this. Did he just go in, interview for this job, fill out an app, all that stuff? Or did his dad kind of go in there and say, I have a boy about working age. Could you use him? Because if that were the case, I think Kevin right away would have went for the job in the mall, unless, because, spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, that's what he ends up doing. So why did he do the hardware thing? I don't know. I mean, hell, it wouldn't have been my first choice to work for some elderly man running a family-owned business that is kind of being run out by the True Values, the Home Depots, the Menards, the Lowe's type businesses that would probably eventually put people like Mr. Harris's business out of business. But, you know, the saying goes that you're not going to like every single job you get. Every job, I guess you could say, is kind of a learning experience. You know, I had my fair share of fast food jobs, customer service jobs. I worked for a tyrant at when the Goodwill opened in Lowell. And I was working Hollywood Video at the time, too. And I'm telling the story right off the bat of this episode. I remember I had the interview for Goodwill. I met the woman in a McDonald's. Then I got a call like, hey, you got the job, come down and fill out, paperwork, all the good stuff. So Jeremy takes me down there and I'm telling her about my other job. I said, I have a second job. And she looks at me and I kid you not, She said this a couple times while I was working at Goodwill. She said, "Do you want this job?" in that tone. My mind should have said, "You know what? No, I don't. Forget it. Keep it. Give it to somebody else." This lady, I don't know what her problem was. And apparently I'm not the only one that felt that way about this person. And it seemed like this lady was constantly up your ass if you didn't do everything absolutely perfect. She was never friendly to me. So, you know, I'd stay there when the Goodwill grand opening happened in August. And then because I was getting, you know, full, you know, 25, 30 some hours alongside Hollywood Video, giving me the usual probably about 20. But once September, October hit, the store Goodwill just went business kind of lopped off. It wasn't summer anymore. Kids were back in school. Adults were, you know, doing their jobs. So business just, I was getting down to like 10, 5 hours a week. And mind you, at this time, I was not living in Lowell. So it was like a 20, 30 minute drive. And I'm getting 5 hours a week. Like, it's not worth it. She even said to me towards the end, "If you want to look for another job, you can do that." She didn't fire me. I finally just, I quit. I'm like, I can't do this. This isn't worth it. For 5 hours a week? I mean, I still was working the video store and everything like that, but anyway, like I said, we all have jobs that we had to do that we probably didn't like. We worked for people we didn't like. All that stuff. So Kevin's kind of lugging a box of stuff around from one side of the store to the other. And he overhears Mr. Harris on the phone, who I guess he gets his parts or something from a particular company. And they don't want to work with him. And then he gets all angry, like, "I've been ordering parts from you since before you were born." As in, he probably ordered from this person's father or whoever. And he says, "I stand by my offer." And then he hangs up the phone. So he's clearly irritated. So Kevin just kind of standing there. And Harris is already grumpy as hell. So he comes over and he's like, "Are we standing or are we working?" Oh, he says, "Are we looking or working?" And Kevin immediately just goes back to his whatever he was working on. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm working. Don't worry, I'm working." Now, we know Kevin's got charm and everything, but even that would fail to impress Mr. Harris. He is all business. He's grumpy older man who, I think he might have had sons, but maybe his sons didn't want to take over the business or something. And I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to work for that guy. I can't work for someone like that. I don't care what the pay is. Man, he is on his ass. Like, what stopped you from working? Like, nothing. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, get to work. Like, Jesus. I'm going to play this clip.
"Are we looking or working?"
"Working.
What stopped you?"
"Nothing."
"Then get to work."
"Yes, sir."
As far as I could tell, his system of organizing the merchandise was based on the maximum number of times I could climb from the bottom shelf to the top shelf and back again.
"Not so fast. What are these?"
"They're bolts."
"You sure?"
Yeah, toggle bolts.
"Used for what?"
"Used for fastening things. In plasterboard."
"Good."
It wasn't enough he knew everything there was to know about the business. He seemed to think I should, too.
"So, should they go with the sheet metal bolts or over there, closer to the plaster supplies?"
"Well, I... the plaster supplies."
"Do it then."
Not that I wasn't grateful for the education. I wasn't.
"What was that?"
"Nothing. Mr. Harris, shouldn't we knock off? It's almost 6 o'clock.
"So?"
"So?"
"Almost 6 o'clock is not 6 o'clock. Besides, there might be customers.
Sam, why don't you let him go a little early?
There you had it. 2 days a week after school, Saturdays till 6, I hauled, packed, and loaded my life away for a grand total of 18 bucks and change. Money was my only reason for being there. I had a bigger reason, a more compelling reason.
So, of course, as Kevin's on the ladder putting stock away, Mr. Harris asks him, "What are these?" And Kevin tells him, "You know, it's a bolt." And Mr. Harris, you know, he quizzes him, like, all right, it's a bolt. Good. What do you do with this bolt? What is it used for? So he's, of course, quizzing Kevin. It's like, you can't just work there and not know anything about your product. You have to know what it is, what it does, stuff like that, in case you get the occasional customer that's probably going to come in and say, hey, I'm doing this. Can you show me to something that I need to be able to do this project or something like that. Which his store is more like if you need a replacement for, like, fixing underneath your kitchen sink or something like that. It's not, it's just your typical run-of-the-mill, I need something to repair something. It's not a Home Depot where you can go get bunches of plasterboard or whatever and you're going to redo your kitchen or your living room or whatever. So here's the thing that we learn early on about Kevin, especially with this job as he gets older. He looks at the clock. He's like, don't you think we knock off? It's almost 6 o'clock. And I agree with Mr. Harris when he's like, 6 o'clock is almost 6 o'clock is not 6 o'clock. And the fact that you would even ask, I wouldn't go at my job and say, hey, it's almost 11 o'clock when it's like 1:45. Can I leave? I would get fired or I would get talked to. You don't do that. Leaving early is not negotiable unless it's up to your supervisor. Kevin, come on. But he's also like this when he does the Chinese restaurant. He's like, hey, I've been here 3 months or 2 months. Can I get a raise? After 2 months? I'd laugh your ass out of that restaurant, Kevin, if I were your manager. But good old Mrs. Harris, it's like, her husband's name is Sam. Like, Sam, come on, let's let him go a little early. And, you know, Mr. Harris is like, nah, it looks at Kevin like, nah, whatever, whatever, let's go. It's like, yeah, Mrs. Harris, such a sweetheart. She's got to put up with her grumpy husband. But she kind of can pull the strings on him. Like, yeah, all right, son, you can go. So, I'm guessing Kevin brings home, he said $18, so is that maybe like $18 a week, which isn't terrible for, you know, this is 1971, it's a part-time job, he's working 3 days a week. So, probably gets paid weekly. So, I'm guessing he gets paid $6 a day times 3 days that he works, it's $18. I mean, my guess is he probably just pays him under the table. There's no, like, paycheck stub or anything like that. So now we're in the Arnold kitchen. It's dinner time. Jack's kind of asking Kevin, like, hey, how's it going with old man Harris? I am wondering now if Jack set this whole thing up. Like I said, this doesn't seem like the job that Kevin would go for himself. Because, you know, he wants to go work at the mall. So Jack just thinks it's funny. He's like, hey, how's work? Kevin's like, works, work. Typical, just like Jack, when Kevin would ask, hey, or Norma, how's work? Works, work. Doesn't change. And Jack's just like, oh, old man Harris is running your tail off, huh? And Kevin's like, eh, yeah. Why doesn't Wayne, does Wayne not have a job? I mean, it's not like Jack is really expecting Kevin to work. It was more of what Dad was giving me an allowance wasn't enough, so I decided to get a job. So, but you'd think Wayne would be expected to work a little himself, because he's in his senior year of high school. But even Norma's kind of smirking a little at this. Like, oh, our young son working, having a hard time. Isn't that adorable? So Wayne's like, oh, how was your day, honey? And Kevin just shoves him in the shoulder, like, shut up, butthead. Guys, don't you think you're getting a little old to be play shoving each other? Come on, you're both 16, 15 years old. You're not little children. But then again, this is the dynamic of Wayne and Kevin. Always calling each other butthead. Always shoving each other. Boys will be boys, won't they? They like to play rough. I'm going to play this clip.
So, how was work today?
My father had gotten me the job.
Looks work.
Old man's running your tail off, huh?
Kinda.
For some reason, Dad seemed to find a certain humor in seeing his youngest child do time at hard labor. Come to think of it, so did my whole family.
So how was your day, honey?
Shut up, butthead.
I think it sounds like fun.
Working in a store, meeting people, talking to customers.
Well,
you see, Mom, that's kind of the problem. No one...
Ed Harris is one of a kind. Nobody knows hardware like he does. Do you know he sold me the first full set of tools I ever owned?
Yes, I do, Dad, but...
That was before either of you was even born.
Look, it's boring... It's hard work, and it's no fun, okay? Okay?
Just to set the record straight here.
No fun?
Oh, no.
Who the hell ever said a job is supposed to be fun?
Well, I didn't mean...
Let me just give you a piece of advice. Listen to the old guy. Pay attention. He just might teach you something.
And that was that. I was stymied. By timeless values and an ironclad work ethic, which left only one place to turn.
So listening to that clip, I realized, yes, that Jack got Kevin that job. That was not something that he originally would have went for himself. I knew it wasn't. You know, and Norma's excited, like, hey, it sounds like a cool job where you can meet people and this and that. And Kevin's about to say, speaking of meeting people, yeah, no one comes in there anymore. Like, only one person comes in there, and that's because they're lost or they thought they were in a Home Depot or something. Like, oh, I took a wrong turn somewhere. Whoops. Yeah, some lady, I'll talk about it. When we get to it, but this one lady comes in there looking for a part for something, and eventually she's like, you know what? I'll just wait till my husband gets back in town or something, and he can do this. Yeah, you might wanna. If you don't know what you're looking for or whatever, you could end up getting the wrong thing, and then that'll mean having to go back there to return it. But Kevin says the wrong words when he's like, it's no fun! And Jack, like, gives him this death stare, like, fun? Who the hell says a job has to be fun? Let me tell you a little something. You listen to old man Harris. The man might teach you something. Yeah, kids, teenagers who have never had a job, word of advice. Don't go into a job thinking you're going to have a fun, good time, okay? It's hard work. You learn discipline. You might make some friends or coworkers. You might get into the occasional people like to gossip and everything. They got their cliques. It's kind of like school. The people that you start with probably have already worked with each other for years. But the one thing a job does teach you is it teaches you a skill that you can put on an application, a resume for further work. You know, a job also teaches you to be on time for something and to put your all into something and work towards a goal of hopefully wanting more for yourself. You know, maybe you'll make friends along the way. You never know. Acquaintances, people you can use as a reference on your resume down the road. And just thinking about the past jobs I'd had in the last, like, 15 years. How many of those businesses that I worked at when I was in my late teens don't even exist anymore? Yeah. Pretty sad. I mean, I think the mall job would have been a lot better, but Jack being Jack clearly wanted Kevin to, like, learn a skill. So we get a shot of the mall. I don't think revolving door, not revolving, what's it, automated doors? Those haven't been invented yet. I'm just checking out the doors behind these girls that are walking into the mall. It's simple, you know, door handle type doors. They haven't reached automatic yet. So we got three girls front and center. One's got a orange, yellow flowery dress, brunette girl. We got some girl in the middle. They're all wearing, well, two out of the three girls are wearing these really knee-high boots, which was probably the thing for the time. And we got this girl front and center. She's wearing what, skin-tight, like literally skin-tight dress that's just below, the skirt touches right below her vagina, literally. It's like, my gosh, I didn't know skirts were that short. This is 1971, of course. But it just, the dress, if you can call it that, maybe it's just a shirt. It might be a shirt and a skirt. But this long sleeve whatever, like, hugs her features. Like, it's literally, like, skin tight. Then we got the girl next to her, brunette. She's got the tinted glasses, might be sunglasses, and the sleeveless look with a skirt that's split right up the front there. Also, the skirt reaches just below her vagina. And I don't know if it's supposed to be underwear or what. Wow. Just wow. These girls, man. These girls. That was a fashion in the 70s. I swear on my cat that, sorry, Quinny. That girl's got underwear, like, exposed in that skirt. You can see it. It's, the skirt is cut right up the front of it. We get our Polly back. We get our Polly back as Paul, Kevin, and Army Jacket guy. Don't got a name for him yet. At least we don't got to see that Purtle the turtle guy. The unbelievable. That guy. Hate him. We don't see him. He's gone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we got the song Taking Care of Business by Bachman-Turner Overdrive playing while the kids are oogling, ogling the girlies passing them. Army Jacket guy's got the dark sunglasses. Dude, you're inside. Yeah, he's clearly just wearing them for style. I know that, but take off the sunglasses. So this is Hillcrest Plaza. So isn't the mall area that, oh wait, no. The one that tore down Harper's Woods, that was a shopping center. So that wasn't a mall, right? Oh, that's right. Remember in season 3, Wayne on Wheels, how Kevin always wanted to ride to the mall? So it's way the fuck out of Hoo-Haville, and probably the next town over. Okay, gotcha. Is this that same mall, maybe? So I'm gonna play this clip of the boys kinda talking about the girls. What is that kid chewing on? Looks like a giant gummy bear, or gummy worm. I don't know, maybe we'll find out. The kid did take his sunglasses off, so that's good.
In the mall. Hillcrest Plaza, one-stop shopping, a browser's bonanza, a teenager's field of dreams.
Who is that?
Gretchen Tyler, 11th grade.
She goes to our school?
It was a place to ponder the burning issues of life.
Come on, guys. I think I need some fries.
Yeah, this was the ticket. Girls to the left of us. Girls to the right. Girls nine deep around some kid in a stupid hat and a plastic name tag.
I don't believe it. Look at that guy. Robbie Cashin. He's in my biology class.
Made you wonder where his dad bought his first set of tools.
Sure beats working at a hardware store, huh, Kev?
Speaking of tools.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with his job.
Thanks, Pop.
I mean, one thing for me to grouse about my job, but
except for the long hours and old man Harris and that stupid tie.
Tell me about it.
What did they know anyway? Some guy's got all the glamour, so what? There were certain benefits to working where I worked.
Oh my gosh. I knew I recognized that guy who's working in that little restaurant in the mall. Actor Josh Blake, you guys may remember him as Jake Akmonic, Raquel and Trevor's nephew from the show Elf. If you watched Full House in season 4, the episode Greek Week, he plays Silvio Badalakis from Greece. He comes with Jesse's grandparents. And of course, he's got the sex-crazed sister, Elena, who's ready to jump Jesse's bones when they arrive. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I know the guy from. And I think that's all he did. He didn't really play in any other episodes, I don't think. So this is where, you know, Kevin sees Robbie working there, and he thinks to himself, hey, this is the job that I should have, because this guy's getting noticed by girls and everything. It's simple, easy job. It's fast food. You run the register. And Army Jacket Guy and Paul are kind of ragging on Kevin for his hardware store job. Like, beats working on the hardware store. Huh? And of course, Kevin's like, what is that supposed to mean? And Paul at first kind of stands up for him. And then he's like, oh, except for, of course, you know, the long hours. And that stupid tie you have to wear? Please. So Army Jacket Guy and Paul head over to grab something from the fast food place. And Kevin's just kind of standing there thinking he's defending himself. Like, hey, they don't know what it's like working at hardware. He's thinking of, you know, the benefits of working there, you know, the knowledge you get and all that stuff. Like, he's getting knowledge that can take him through into adulthood when it comes to fixing shit and everything. So, of course, he's back at the hardware store. Mr. Harris, of course, grumpy ass, as always. He hands Kevin a box of metal pipes and tells him to don't forget the inventory. Count the inventory. That is a must. So this woman comes in here and says, oh, my husband says we need a washer. And Mr. Harris is like, oh, your husband's a plumber? And she's like, no. He's an accountant. Ooh la la, money, money. Well, considering that you're dressed fancy like lady, I can see your husband's an accountant. You're spending his money. So basically, she is the one that's like, she's probably stays at home and was instructed by her husband, like, hey, sweetie, we need a washer for what, the faucet, sink, whatever. So he sent the wife down to get it. Guy, you should have gotten it yourself. This makes me a little... I'm not saying that she's incompetent. She's not. This woman is not incompetent. She's come to the right place. And that's where Mr. Harris starts talking to her a story like, oh, my son, my oldest, is also an accountant. I don't let him near my taxes, though. Oh, he says, I don't let him near my sink. I'm sorry. And of course, this lady is probably just wants to get the part. She's in a hurry. She wants to get the part and get out of there. And of course, old man Harris is looking for someone to talk to. He hardly has anyone come in there. So of course, any opportunity to talk about his kids or just talk to someone in general. Because we know he's not talking to Kevin. He's just ordering Kevin around. So, he tells her about how it's a rubber seal, like, one crack and it's worthless. He says something about brass and some other type of thing. And I see the woman, and she's, like, getting kind of fidgety. Like, she's in a hurry. She keeps kind of glancing over at Kevin, like, hey, can you come and save me from this older man? I really don't have time to, like, have a lengthy conversation here. I gotta get home. Now he's going on about hard water and rust. It's like, sir, she just wants the part. She's got stuff to do. She doesn't need an entire history on, you know, washers and stuff like that. He asks her, do you have hard water or soft? And she, of course, doesn't know. Odds are she probably has hard water. I mean, unless you got, like, a water softener, you probably do have hard water, right? Oh, she's got to get on a train. She says, I got to meet the 515. You know, I got to meet my husband. I got to get home. I got no time. You know, my husband will be in. I think she says her husband will be in later, like, to pick up the part. Yeah, she wastes no time getting the fuck out of the car. She takes the part, like, you know what? I'll have my husband. I'll come back later. As in, I'll go somewhere closer in the town that I live in. This is, I have no time. She probably thought, you know, hey, get in, get out. I tell you what I need, you give me the part, you ring me up, I head out the door. No, he's going to give her a full-on explanation of this, that, hard water, and oh my goodness. Because he didn't even, he was just standing there. He never made any move to go and get her a new washer. Well, to be honest, I can see why people probably would go somewhere else. People are busy. They don't have time to sit around and chat about lengthy conversations about products and this and that. So thank you, Mr. Harris. You just lost your first customer of the day. Oh, it's still daylight outside. I thought it was dark out. Oh my god, it's still daylight. So Kevin, of course, is just standing there, and the lady leaves, and he thinks, hey, maybe I should bring Mr. Harris up to the 21st century. And he's like, Mr. Harris, and Mr. Harris just turns on Kevin and glowers like, what? And Kevin, of course, is like standing like, maybe I won't say anything. You might not want to. He wants you to get your butt back to work, buddy. And I can't see him taking advice from a 15-year-old kid. He's not gonna sit lightly with that. I want to play this clip of Mr. Harris and this woman. You listen to it and you'll see just how long-winded his explanations and everything get. It's like she just wants the part and to get out of there, and he's like not even making an attempt. He just stands there and doesn't make an attempt to get her the product that she needs.
So is my oldest. He does my taxes. I don't let him near my sink.
Yep. The chance to watch a master salesman at work.
Well, let me see this. Oh, rubber. You one crack and you lose the seal. They use plastic now. Very good. Brass, copper, they last. Absolutely indestructible. Unless you have hard water, then you get rust. Do you have hard water or soft?
I'm not sure. Look, I'm sorry, but I've got to meet the 515. My husband will be waiting. Why don't I just stop back another time?
Well, yeah.
Thanks, anyway.
Let's face it. The old man's idea of salesmanship was a little outmoded. So seemed it was up to me to bring him into the 20th century.
Mr. Harris?
What?
On the other hand?
Well, I was just thinking, do I really have to wear this tie? I mean, because if it's okay with you, I just assume...
Well, let me tell you something. When you're outside playing, you can wear what you want. But when you're in here working, you'll wear the tie. Am I understood?
Yes, sir.
Needless to say, the whole thing hadn't gone quite as well as I'd hoped.
Okay, Kevin said the 20th century, not the 21st. We haven't hit the year 2000 yet. It's still 1971. Wow, was I off. Yeah, by the year 2000, I bet that guy's business would have been gone. Although, he probably would have been dead from old age as well. And I can see that his son's an accountant, but he said his oldest son. So his youngest son is probably doing something else. So neither of them wanted to probably take over the business. My guess is maybe Mr. Harris took over that business from his dad? Because it said Harris and Sons. So, I think what Paul said about the stupid tie, Kevin's like, hey, do I have to wear this tie to Mr. Harris? Mr. Harris is like, alright, you listen to me. When you're outside playing, you can wear whatever the fuck you want. While you're in here, in my store, you will wear the tie. The recommended uniform. Am I clear? And Kevin's like, yeah, sure. So, we get to school the next day, and Kevin is able to talk to Robbie about that job and what it entails and everything. And I think Robbie says, you know, it's pretty easy. It's not that hard. You just throw fries in the fryer and wait on people. So here's that clip.
I decided to explore the alternatives.
I saw you the other day at the mall, and I was just wondering, do you like your job?
Oh, well, yeah, it's okay. You know, it's a job.
And what do you have to do there?
I don't know, you serve stuff. You hang out.
And that's it?
All the fries you can eat.
Seemed like a job for a special kind of guy. Like, say, me.
Why, you interested?
Nah. How much do they pay?
$1.60 an hour.
$1.60 an hour?
So you can hear that accent, that New York, Brooklyn accent, shining through Robbie's voice, of course. But he was like that in Elf. Granted, he trying to speak with a Greek accent in the Full House episode. But anyway, Kevin's like, hey, do you like your job? What does it entail? And Robbie's like, hey, it's pretty easy. Just hanging out, make fries. And Kevin's like, hey, well, how much do you make per hour? And Robbie's like, well, $1.60 an hour. And my guess is Kevin doesn't get that much at Harris's. So now it's later in the evening, and Jack, of course, is watching TV. He's got his drink. It's probably after dinner time, so he's just kind of just chilling back, throwing one back. So this is pretty much a one-sided conversation, where Kevin's kind of asking Jack, like, hey, say you were working somewhere, and you thought you deserved more pay, you'd do something about it, right? And Jack's like, yeah. Yep, sure would. Okay. Wow. Thanks, Dad. Good talk, Dad. I want to play this clip. I just love Jack. Jack's, of course, absorbed into TV land, so he's not even really. It's like one ear's at the TV, one ear is at Kevin, just giving the classic automated responses. Yeah, sure. Yep, sounds great, son.
Even Dad couldn't argue with economic reality.
Dad, I've been thinking. You work hard for your money, right? So, say you were working somewhere, and you thought you deserved more. You do something about it, right?
You betcha.
Even if it meant making your boss mad.
Buck's a buck.
There. Sounded like a clear mandate to me.
Thinking about asking old man Harris for a raise?
Kinda.
And with that ringing endorsement in hand, I made up my mind.
So Jack, of course, is like, hey, a buck's a buck. And then, of course, he's coherent enough to say, oh, thinking of asking old man Harris for a raise, huh? And Kevin's like, well, I thought I might bring it up. So we see Kevin, I don't know whether, this has got to be like his day off, because he's in jeans and a sweatshirt or a button-down. No, it's a button-down. And Mr. Harris, of course, is outside sweeping the sidewalk. We see the sign that says Harris and Sons Hardware. And it says existence since 1933. So this place it's not even 40 years old yet. So my God, that guy's got to be at least in his late 60s. So he must have started this business young. Like, maybe when he was in his 33, 40, maybe his 20s. Oh, so Kevin is wearing a tie, so he's on the job. All right, he tells Harris, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it Saturday. So what, basically is he asking for a day off? Or he just flat out wants to quit. I think that's the thing. He's like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to work for you anymore. I love how Kevin just ambushes this guy. Like, oh, I don't think I'll be able to come in at all anymore. Kevin, why don't you just say, sir, I'd like to hand in my resignation. Or, I want to quit. Not, oh, I don't think I'll be here this Saturday. And I don't think I want to come in, like, at all anymore. Like, as in I'm done. Wow. Way to ambush the old man, Kev. That's great. Now you just set back his impression of teenagers a good, like, umpteen years. He probably will never want to hire another one ever again. I thought there were some jobs whether I worked at that kind of said they were more interested in hiring people that were, like, fresh out of high school. Like, no teenagers. Don't get any teenagers in here because they don't want to work. They constantly come in late. They're goofing off. They're not taking their job seriously. So, I wouldn't say all teenagers are like that. Maybe some, but not all. So, I'm going to play this clip here of Kevin trying to quit, but of course, Mr. Harris is not going to let Kevin go that easily. And in fact, he surprises Kevin by giving him a raise. Like, don't you know? I don't want a raise. I don't want to be here anymore.
Mr. Harris?
Yes? There was only one way to do this. Honestly. Directly.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it on Saturday.
Oh?
Yeah. Actually, I don't think I'm going to be able to come in at all anymore.
I see.
Yeah. See, there's this other job I may be taking.
And where is this new place of employment?
In the mall.
The mall? That's where you want to go work. Selling crap that doesn't work to people who don't need it in the first place. What would you be doing?
Working. In a restaurant. Food service management.
What the hell?
It's a burger joint.
And this is how you want to spend your time, flipping hamburgers and watching the girls walk by?
Bingo. He finally understood.
No.
Then why would you do a thing like this?
Because they pay 15 cents more an hour.
Oh. So that's it. I see. 15 cents an hour.
Sure, it was a bitter pill. But what else could the guy do?
I'll pay you 20.
What?
Just prove to me that you're worth it. Sweep.
Rats.
So, yeah, you know, Kevin says, I got another job lined up that I want to do, and it's in the mall. Mr. Harris is not happy. And the fact that this guy is judging Kevin, oh, what are you going to do? Sell crap to people that don't need it, actually need it or something? It's like, my God, why do you care? And the thing is, like, oh, that's, like, you want to reduce yourself to working in a burger joint? Like, sir, why does it matter to you what Kevin does? He just wants to get out. And here's my thing. One of the things Kevin says is that, you know, they pay 15 cents more than what you pay me. So Harris thinks about it, and he's like, all right, you know what, I'll pay you 20 cents more. And Kevin is like, kind of like, whoa, okay. Of course, Harris is like, well, prove to me that you're worth it, though. Start sweeping. Here's the thing. Okay. Harris has got, what, one or two sons? One we know of that is an accountant that I think maybe when they chose probably not to follow in their father's footsteps and take on the business and everything, that clearly hurt Mr. Harris. And now Kevin is kind of treating Kevin. He's shutting down any reasons Kevin's giving for wanting a different job. It's almost like I couldn't have control over my sons and what they wanted to do with their lives when they wanted to move on. But I have this kid here that maybe I can convince him to keep working for me, like if I give him a raise and stuff. It's like you don't get a say whether or not somebody wants to move forward or not. That is up to them. He is not your son, Mr. Harris. I appreciate that you want him to have a job that means something, like your hardware store and everything. But you don't get the say in whether or not. I mean, and the fact that he offers Kevin a raise, like, I'll give you a raise, just stay here. It's like his hardware store is a dying dream, and he's like, I have to keep this boy here to keep this dream alive. Like, what if Kevin were to have stayed there, and then old man Harris, like, left Kevin the store in his will because his other sons didn't want it? So, Kevin, Paul, and Army Jacket Dude are hanging out at a booth, eating fries, whatnot, and Paul's like, what do you mean he won't let you quit? And Kevin's like, I told you, Paul, he gave me a raise. I can't quit. Ugh. Of course, Army Jacket guy's like, I wouldn't work for that guy if he paid me $100 an hour. You sure about that, guy? There are some jobs out there, even I say, I wouldn't work there if they paid me $1 million a week. No way. Kevin actually comes to the defense of Mr. Harris. Like, hey, he's not an old geezer, and he knows more about hardware than either of you doofy would ever know in your entire lives. Of course, Army Jacket Guy and Paul's response is, whoa. Like, fuck off. Paul, come on. Be a supportive buddy. Why are you being a troll? So Army Jacket Guy is like, hey, don't you get it, Kevin? That guy bought you. He, like, owns you now. Wait, he does not. Kid, you wouldn't know a job if it bit you in the ass. Shut your fucking mouth. You're putting poisonous thoughts into Kevin's head. Paul, you should be shutting that guy down. His name is Lewis. I will call him Lewis. Although I don't know how often more we'll see this kid. But we'll call him Lewis instead of Army Jacket Guy. So Kevin's like, he doesn't own me. So Lewis is like, hey, well then prove it. Take Saturday off and hang with us here at the mall. And Kevin's like, you think I can't take a day off if I want? I can do that. Yeah, right. So of course Kevin tries to get the day off. Like, hey, I can't work Saturday. I've had an appointment. And Mr. Harris, of course, is like busy with his books and stuff like that. He's like, where? Yeah, he's not buying Kevin's got an appointment. Like, come on, Kevin. How late does that mall stay open? I mean, he says he works till 6 o'clock at night on a Saturday. You're telling me that mall, although he doesn't have his driver's license yet, so how the fuck is he going to get there? Never mind. I want to play this clip of Kevin trying to get this Saturday off, and of course, Mr. Harris is not having it.
I was wondering if I could have the day off Saturday.
Why?
Well, I have this appointment.
Where?
Just around.
Oh, well then, certainly.
Great.
Of course. Anytime you have a social engagement and work interferes, you just let me know. We'll close the store.
Hey, look, all I'm asking for here is just...
We have an agreement. You work here Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I pay you what now? $1.65 an hour. Maybe now you would like me to pay you double time for the days that you don't work.
And that's when it hit me. The guys had been right. I wasn't an employee here. I was in bondage. I was a slave.
So Harris knows that Kevin just wants to fuck off and go hang out at the mall. And he's like, well, let me know. You know, if work interferes with your playtime, then we can just shut the store down for the day. And Kevin's like, no, that's not what I want. I just want a day off. It's like, heaven forbid, what if Kevin had an emergency? Would Mr. Harris understand? Mr. Harris, my dad is in the hospital right now. I have to go. I can't come in. Yeah. I don't think he would buy that. He'd be like, take me to the hospital. I want to see your dad in the hospital to prove that you're not lying and going to the mall. And Mr. Harris, you know what? I pay you to work here Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, all right? Do you want me to pay you double time for the days that you don't work? And it dawned on Kevin. It's like, yeah, the guys were right. He's treating me like a servant. And slave. Kevin has a nightmare, of course, working for Mr. Harris, and he's, like, ordering him. Kevin's all gross and grimy, climbing up this ginormous ladder to hell, and with a giant lug of stuff, excuse me, on his back and everything. And Mr. Harris looks like the devil with the horns and the maniacal laughing. It's freaky. So Kevin goes to see his dad, who's working on the piece of shit sink. There is always something wrong with that fucking sink. Didn't we see in Dinner Out he was screwing around underneath the sink? My god, what a piece of shit. Anyway, Kevin probably goes to see, like, hey, what do you, I really don't want this job anymore. Like, going to dad for advice. And then realizes, like, one of the things that Jack needs to fix this faucet here is, from all of his knowledge he's gotten at Harris's, Kevin knows exactly what Jack needs and say, hey, why don't you run down there and get it? Of course, Jack's like, no, you know old man Harris. He'll talk my ear off for an hour. I really don't have the time. So I want to play that clip.
Put this in perspective. Job stress was getting me down.
Huh? Yeah, sure. Your mother and I were up half the night. This damn trip. What's up?
It's about Mr. Harris.
Yeah, I heard you got a raise. That's terrific.
Yeah. Well, what's the matter?
Well, it came apart okay. Put in a new washer, and now I can't seem to get it to hold together.
Where's your bib screw?
Huh?
You know, your bib screw. Probably fell down the drain. It happens all the time. They're easy to replace.
And the way he looked at me, for one second, I almost felt good about hardware.
You know, we sell bib screws down at Harris's.
That's okay. I'll probably shoot over to the mall.
The mall?
Well, it's closer, easy to park. Besides, you know the old man. I stop in, he'll talk to me for hours, chewing my ear off. I don't have that kind of time. You know what I mean.
I couldn't believe it. This man, Mr. Listen and Learn, was telling me he didn't have time?
Sure, Dad. I know what you mean.
But I didn't. I just didn't.
So here's the reasons that Jack gives for not going to Harris's. The mall's closer, easier to park, because as you notice, in front of Harris's store, you'd basically be parallel parking. He does not have a parking lot, which I avoid parallel parking at every single cost, which I usually don't find myself in a predicament where I have to parallel park. I leave that up to Jeremy. And, of course, on top of it is old man Harris will have me for hours yakking about whatever. I really don't have time like that anymore. And Kevin gets it. He's like, that's the main reason people don't stop in is they don't have time. Like that clip you heard with that woman. He yacked her ear off. She finally just gave up and said, you know what? I gotta meet my husband. I'll come in another time. No, more than likely she'll just stop at the mall and get a part there. I mean, I do kind of feel bad for Mr. Harris. I'm sorry if I called him Mr. Harrison. But It just seems like businesses like that are kind of a dying breed. Like I said, you have your Home Depot, you have your Ace Hardware, your True Values, your Lowe's and Menards for all of your hardware, homeware, outdoor needs, everything. I mean, you want to stop into this place and get a part or something, you get a lecture along with it that goes on for an hour. So, Kevin, of course, had to work, and he meant to head into work, but he's just kind of standing across the street, just kind of looking at the hardware store, and he doesn't want this. This isn't, you know, he wants to be a carefree teenager and hang out at the mall. What better job to have to do that is to work at the Burger Shack? You know, and even though Kevin even doesn't want to be there, nobody else does because you never see anybody come in there anymore. And I think Kevin's finally going to get to the point. It's like, don't offer me a raise. I won't accept it. Just let me go and move on. And Kevin even will point out, nobody comes in here anymore. Everyone's going out to the mall to get what they need. Sir, this is your business is a dying breed. I hate to be rough and, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat this for you. I don't. And my guess is Mr. Harris must have started this company as Harris and Sons, thinking that one day he'd have a couple boys and they would take over the business. But of course, neither of his sons wanted that responsibility and they didn't. They wanted, you know, one wanted to become an accountant. I don't know what happened to the other one. But, you know, and just him running a business like that for over 30 years, the business to him is probably like another child. He doesn't want to let it go. You know, all the hard work and blood and sweat and tears that went into creating that business and everything, and just to see it go down the drain due to other bigger businesses where it's easier to commute to, or the other businesses are easier to commute to, the parking's better, you have more than one person helping you out at your disposal to get you what you need. You don't get a lecture along with it either. So I want to play this clip.
I meant to go right to work that afternoon, but when I got to the store, for some reason, I didn't go in. I didn't want to be there anymore. Hell, I knew nobody else did either. I went to the mall, hung out with friends. It was busy and alive. I hardly thought about old Mr. Harris at all. Well, not much anyway.
So, I'm guessing it was that Saturday, and Kevin decided to go hang out at the mall with his buddies and just enjoy being surrounded by the noise and the lights and the conversation and just being where everything is going on. And he says, you know, he didn't really think about Mr. Harris and the fact that he was probably expecting him. I bet no one even came in. It's a Saturday. Come on. No one's going into that store. Kevin even said, I didn't want to be there, and apparently no one else did either. So now Kevin is going to hand in his ties, resignation. Like, hey, I'm done. Don't offer me a raise. And just let me go. So here's that clip.
By the time I got back, I pretty much figured he was going to fire me. Maybe I was just hoping he would.
You're late.
I know.
Mr. Harris, can I talk to you?
Late today.
understand. You need to prove something. It's all right. It's forgotten. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Well, I'm not going to be coming in anymore. See, I took the job in the mall. I start Monday.
Don't be foolish. You work here.
But I don't want to work here anymore. Don't you understand that?
You're a bright boy. You could make something better of yourself.
I wouldn't call stocking hardware something better.
Oh, I see.
Mr. Harris, all I do here is move cartons from one shelf to the other and listen to you talk about hardware. No one even comes in here anymore. No one wants to.
Is that so? Let me tell you something. Sam. The hardware business...
Sam. The boy wants to go.
You don't even need me here most of the time.
I know that. I would like you to keep working here, but I won't try to make you stay. I've made my offer. I stand by it.
I felt him watching me, and somehow I knew what he was thinking. How much I'd learned. How much he'd taught me. But I was 15. I lived in a world that was new and alive and exciting. And everything here was old. Maybe it was stupid. That's also part of being 15. In my tie for a stupid hat and a plastic name tag at the mall. When I left a month later, no one cared. But every time I pick up a flathead screw, I think of old man Harris and how those cowbells clanged as I walked out that door. And even though I can't say exactly what I gained, I know I can't measure what I lost.
So when Kevin shows up to Harris's, all Harris does is says, "You're late." Hands Kevin a broom, and he walks back inside, as in, "You're late, it's forgiven, let's not talk about it, just sweep in the dark here." And Kevin kind of follows him in, and he says, "Hey, I accepted a job at the mall, I start Monday, I'm turning in my tie." And Kevin kind of points out, you know, nobody even comes in here anymore. The only thing you got me doing is moving boxes from one side of the store to the other. As in, you're basically paying me to move items from one side of your store to another. It's like, what is the point? I mean, Harris does bring up the whole, "You are late today, I understand," as in, "You wanted to prove something to me, you've done that, let's just move on and not talk about it." So, when Kevin says, "I start Monday at the mall," because, well, basically, after Harris says, "Don't worry, you know, you want to prove something to me, it's forgotten, I'll see you Tuesday," that's when Kevin says, "I'm not coming in anymore. I won't be in Tuesday. I'm not coming in at all. I'm done." And he says, "I start at the mall on Monday. My new job." Harris is like, "Don't be foolish. You work here." "Sir, try to understand, this is a teenage boy you're dealing with. This isn't your son. You can't control what he wants. If he wants to get a new job and stop working for you, you can't forcibly keep him there. I know you want to. You want your legacy, your Harrison Son's hardware store, to live on. I get it. But you're going to have to let it go. Kevin says, I don't want to work here anymore. But Harris is like, you are a bright boy. You could do so much more with your life. Why settle for a job at a fast food restaurant? Like, Harris, that's not your choice to make. That's Kevin's. And Kevin even throws it in his face. I wouldn't call stocking hardware any better. And of course, he pretty much just offended Mr. Harris, who's built his life around this store. That's when his wife comes out of the office and says, Sam, just let the boy go. And that stops Mr. Harris in his tracks. It's like, he's got fight in him, but the moment his wife tells him, let the boy go, he stops immediately and is just defeated. Like, there's nothing more I can say to keep you here. Part of me feels a little bad that this man is thrusting this dying dream of his, of this hardware store, onto Kevin. I just think he's projecting this onto Kevin because, like I said, his sons chose another path in life. They didn't want the responsibility. They didn't want to carry on the hardware store legacy. That's what I don't understand. When you start a business, you know, and guys will be, or men are like, one day my child's going to take over this. Why would you put that expectation onto your child? Like, I'm not giving you a choice. One day you can take over. Don't do that. Your child is going to want something else for themselves, unless they want to take over your business. But don't give them an ultimatum. Like, in Full House, Jesse wanted to go with his music career, his advertising, that and that. His dad was like, but I, because at the beginning of the series, Jesse was an exterminator. He worked for his dad. His dad's dream was for Jesse to take over the business, so of course, Jesse's father could retire. And Nick gave him an ultimatum. He said, you want out of the family business? Fine. You're out of the family. Don't give your child an ultimatum like that. That is cruel. You know in your heart that if your own parent did that to you, you wouldn't want that. Like I said, just don't put expectations and demands on your child like that. Because you let them live their life. Build their own dreams. You know, your kids might share your DNA, but at the end of the day, they are their own person with their own wants, needs, desires, and dreams. And this is pretty much also going to be in my Wonderling Words of Wisdom, too, is this. And Kevin even shouts at him. He's like, no one comes in here anymore. Then he says, nobody wants to. Kevin's father didn't even want to. Because going to the mall is that much closer to the house. The parking is better. He's got nowhere for somebody to park except for in front of the store. And if anyone else is out there that hates parallel parking, they're not going to want to park there. And they don't want to lecture with whatever item they need. That lady who Mr. Harris scared away in the beginning, she actually makes a return. She comes back. She says, you know what? Checked with my husband. He says we have hard water. Well, of course you do. Because unless you have a water softener, you probably do have hard water. So Kevin takes this as an opportunity. He knows, like, oh, you want to go with a plastic one, you know, washer, because the metal one's going to rust if you have hard water. So he gets it for her. Says, hey, don't worry about it. It's only a nickel on the house. And she, of course, says thank you and leaves. And Mr. Harris kind of smiles like, see, that knowledge that I put into you, that knowledge that I've quizzed you on these items and stuff, you know all that. So working there for Kevin has paid off to an extent. He's getting that knowledge of hardware and stuff that he can further take on down the road. So Kevin states, you know, he's 15. He's entering a world that is new. As far as he's going to be getting his license, he loves the mall. He wants to hang out. He's a teenager. You have very little time as a teenager before you have to eventually start making those hard choices. SATs, college, job, family, all of those choices. And then pretty much you're raising your kids for the next 18 years and everything you do is going to be for them. So, definitely, Kevin's like, new world, this hardware store, everything in it is old. And he just watches, you know, Mr. Harris and his wife just going over the books and everything like that. And just, Kevin just wants to experience life and everything before he has to buckle down and enter adulthood. I can't blame him. Mr. Harris, you can't fault Kevin for wanting more. So Kevin says he traded in his tie for a stupid paper hat and name tag at the mall. And he left a month later. He says, when I left, no one cared. No one noticed. They probably filled his spot the next day with some other kid that wants to hang out at the mall. You know, in the past jobs that I've had, you know, fast food jobs, I learned how to work with people, ringing up orders, making change. You know, I learned how at KFC, I learned how to make coleslaw in a big, huge plastic vat. And my hands would be blue as I mixed all the dressing and the carrots and the onions and the cabbage all mixed together and everything. With the video store, with Blockbuster, I learned how to sell things. Blockbuster Online in 2006 was right along after Netflix DVD. This is well before streaming. So I had to, in order to get my hours at Blockbuster, I had to sell people on, oh, hey, you want a free movie? Come over here to this laptop and we'll set you up with an account. We'll get you a free movie and then you can just have movies shipped directly to your house. I felt bad having to do that for some people. I didn't want to, but it's like, it's either that or they reduce my hours to next to nothing. And finally, I'd had enough. It's like, I can't do this. I was working there and the KFC. It was no stranger to working two jobs at once. And finally, it's just, I can't do this anymore. If my hours are based on how many people I sign up for this program, and some people are even like, well, I do Netflix, so sorry. And, I moved on to work as a cashier at a pharmacy, and, well, it was more hours. That's what I needed. I just, instead of working two separate jobs, I worked just one, you know, main full-time job for a bit. So, even when I had worked at the Meijer, and I did the stupid thing. You know, this is back when you had your classifieds in the newspaper, and I was looking for another job, and there is a thing for Cutco knives, like, oh, earn big dollars. Yes, guys, I fell for that. And I just remember going, you know, the interview, hey, you got the job, and then come for the seminar, and then you gotta, like, work with other people that are also here to sell these knives. And I'm thinking, I need work now. And the thing is, with that Meijer job, I didn't even give them 2 weeks' notice. I just said, oh, I started another job, bye. Of course, the department that I worked at Meijer later on, a month or so later, would have disbanded and closed down, and they probably, for all I know, would have shipped me somewhere else. But still, give 2 weeks' notice at a job. I learned later on that I could not get into another Meijer because I didn't give 2 weeks' notice. That was, Let me tell you guys, it's hard starting at the bottom again. It really, really is. I'm thankful for my current job that I didn't even think I would ever be able to go from customer service and fast food to manufacturing. I didn't think I had it in me, but 4 years later, they must see something good in me, right? So, Kevin says, whenever I pick up a flathead screwdriver, I think of old man Harris and the cowbells that rang above the door as I walked out. So, I like how Kevin says at the end, I can't say what I gained, but I know I can't measure what I lost. Yeah. See, you could have, Kevin could have stayed, but at what cost to him staying and working at that hardware store? So we close out the episode with the song Pennies from Heaven as I think we kind of see Mr. Harris and his wife when the store was first created. Wait a minute. No, because it says cigars and stuff like that. So is this Mr. Harris's, like, jobs that he did before he owned the hardware store? Oh, that hardware store at one point was a Beechwood Market because we see a fruit stand there. So I think that was the space before it was the hardware store. So did this place also was this place also Vincent's Barber Shop as well? It says ladies something hair bobbing our specialty. Interesting. Oh my gosh! Look how young Mr. Harris and his wife are. That must have been right when he bought the place in 1933. And that's the end of the episode. It was a very nice episode. If I had to give this the Flower Power episode rating, I'm going to give it... Let me see here. I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 5. The three things I liked about the episode, of course, is in no particular order... Kevin finally telling Mr. Harris he does not want to work for him anymore. And also Kevin helping that lady out at the end and just realizing that working there has provided him with knowledge that he can assist somebody. I like when he talks up Mr. Harris's store to his dad when his dad's trying to fix the faucet. And says, hey, you need a bib screw, which you can get at Harris's. And his dad just kind of is like, hey, I can't do that. The mall's closer. And Mr. Harris will just talk my ear off. Let's see. I liked Mr. Harris at the end finally just lets Kevin go. But I like... The fact that he does want more from Kevin. He even says Kevin is a bright boy. I like that. The things I didn't like. I didn't like how Mr. Harris was so desperate to keep Kevin that he was willing to give him a raise. I mean, it was nice that he gave him a raise, but it's like... I'm keeping you here. I want you to stay here. I'll give you 5 cents more than what the fast food restaurant is giving you. I really didn't like how Paul was this episode. He, you know, at first he's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with Kevin's job. But then that Lewis kid was all bagging on Kevin. And Paul could have stood up to him and said, hey... Knock it off, Kevin's got a good job, and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I think their needling Kevin like that was more of getting into Kevin's head. So Kevin already hates the job anyway, so he probably didn't need any real prodding from them. But of course, that puts doubts in Kevin's mind, like, yeah, I don't need this job. Maybe I can get a job at the restaurant in the mall and stuff like that. So I just wish Paul could have been a bit more supportive. So the next episode we are going to jump into is from season 6. Season 6, Episode 4, entitled Sex and Economics, which aired on October 14th, 1992. Kevin is in need of extra cash when his allowance doesn't seem to go far enough. Seems like we covered this in Season 4. When Miss Farmer puts up an ad for someone to paint her house, Kevin jumps at the chance, thinking the job will be easy. It's painting a house. I can't see it being an easy thing. But the task is bigger and more expensive than he could have imagined. Lady, you probably should have went with professionals. It's a house that you're trying to paint, not a fence. And we get Seth Green as Jimmy Donnelly in this episode, so that'll be kind of fun. After Sex and Economics, the next episode after that is going to be Kevin Delivers, which is the last in the job segment. All right, everyone have a wonderful day, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll be back with Sex and Economics, season six, episode 4. Bye-bye. Thank you.